Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Well, it's a star-studded, action-packed show planned for you guys today. Me and Garrickus get into, probably about, must be good 9 or 10 subjects. So plenty of that to go around. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Tommy John, they don't give an F. They give 3 Fs. Fabric, fit, function. Proprietary fabric that performs like nothing you've ever worn before. They have a no-wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistband. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching up, no riding up, just perfect. I'm wearing mine right now. If you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund with the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee, or you can shop at over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. Give 3 Fs, upgrade your underwear, Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Simply the best. You'll never go back to what you're wearing. Right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam for the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee.
ACS fans, get it on. The NFL playoffs are here, and you know what that means. We're getting closer and closer to that final Sunday of the season. You've heard Adam rant about pass interference, ball spotting, and field goal posts on the podcast. But now's your chance to experience it live. When you sign up for the newsletter at CorollaNewsletter.com, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to Los Angeles to watch the last game of the season in the Carr Museum with Adam and friends. That's wings, barbecue, plenty of endless rant, and hey, it's Hollywood, so who knows who'll be there? So get to CorollaNewsletter.com today. You and a friend may be flying out to the city of homeless angels to hear Adam rant live about the spread Sal made him bet on. CorollaNewsletter.com, sit tight!
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time. You will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garrigus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. We got a mandate. Get on and get a fresh piece of paper here with Mark Garrigus and City of Reasonable Doubt. Best hour or so in the universe. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you, too. I almost pulled a Drew there, which is opening the club soda or the Diet Coke right into the microphone.
No, Drew's move,
yeah,
the thing that sets him apart from all the other broadcasters, is he times the coffee. When the intern brings him the coffee, he times it for the beginning of the show. So that while I'm doing the beginning of the show, I'm at work. Dr. Drew is a board certified physician, is addiction medicine specialist. Thank you. You're in the background. He says thank you into. He can't. Look, here's what I argue. The person who's getting you the coffee has a context. You're in a radio studio and the mics are hot. You giving a simple head nod as you get the coffee fine. We don't need the faint. Thank you, sweetie. And then what always drove me nuts, punctuated by the door shutting.
Yeah. Ka-chunk. So you can just hear
right.
that.
Right.
But, you know, Paulette is out of town, but saw somewhere that I forget where that Adam Schiff now may be challenged by Dr. Drew.
That's the greatest news of all. Adam Schiff, who I saw in your backyard.
Right. And by the way, Adam has been in my backyard of two of my houses and in my restaurant. And Drew has been in the same spots. I will really be a schizophrenic guy if it's Adam versus Drew. I'll tell you.
I know Drew's agenda. I don't know. Now, when I heard Adam Schiff speak in your backyard, I thought this guy's eloquent and he's intelligent. He gave a
right
speech on something, but whatever the speech was, it was well put together.
He's and I thought he's an impressive guy.
I thought
know,
it was
whether you like it. Or
I thought it was substantial. I don't.
But Drew is Drew. I mean, you know,
Drew's
I go back.
Drew
is. I've got a 45-year relationship with Drew. I mean,
well, Schiff seems to have his sole reason for being is to get Trump. It seems, and I don't
well,
know.
And he's a hero. On the left, I mean, his profile, it would not surprise me to see him as a VP candidate. I could see that. I could see if Dianne Feinstein, who has, you know, has aged very well.
Mm-hmm.
I could see.
Her and Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I could see if him being a senator. I could see him as a VP candidate. Drew, but Paulette, in her pithy way, wanted to know how Susan's going to survive on a congressional salary, which I hadn't even thought of. You know, that was it's amazing that that's the first place that her brain goes. How is Susan going to survive on a congressional salary?
These are first world problems.
Yeah, these are definitely first world problems.
Well, I saw that and I throw my considerable backing behind Drew.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to. I mean, that's what I mean. Look, I've been as supportive of Adam as any human.
What was he doing in your backyard?
I think that was for one of the campaigns. He's been, when he first ran against Rogan, Jim Rogan, 20 years ago, Rogan was ironically a House manager in the Clinton impeachment. And Rogan had been a state senator, and then he was my congressman, and he was a district attorney. In fact, famously had tried a DUI case. And I think the guy had testified that he just had eight beers and then crashed and injured or killed somebody. And Rogan, in his closing argument, put eight beers on the table.
Wow.
And either poured them into a bucket or knocked them over.
Right.
And didn't say a word. Just
right.
said, ladies and gentlemen, did the eight beers, got a conviction, was heralded in the DA's, in the LA DA's office as a, you know, what a, the trial lawyer of the century, parlayed that into a political career. And Adam ran against him in our district, meaning where you live now. I don't think you lived there then. That was before you'd struck it rich. And moved to La Cañada, to the hills of Beverly. And now, ironically, I guess it would be as if Drew were to run against him as a result of impeachment and presumably Adam being a House manager.
So we were talking before about getting Nicholas Sandman's lawyer in
here.
Which
I completely forgot to do.
That's okay. You're a busy man. But now we can speak without him.
Without Lynn giving us. As a trial lawyer, this has to be a very good microcosm of
CNN settled.
CNN just settled. So for those of you who don't know, this was Nicholas Sandman. It's a case we've talked about before. The media got the first kind of narrative wrong. There was indications that was purposeful for a number of reasons. As a 16-year-old kid who has a face that, are you know, arguably you want to punch, but the media ran with it as if he was doing something that he – and spun it as if he was doing something that he didn't. Now, Lynn Wood is his lawyer. Lynn Wood, I've famously – known of him and worked with him, originally came to kind of the public's attention during Richard Jewell. Now there's been a movie made about Richard Jewell, who was the Olympic Park bomber, who he represented back then. And then Gary Condit, he represented Gary's wife when I was representing Gary. And then the Ramses. He's had a great career. But he just lost the case of the pedo diver against Elon Musk. He had tried that case here in L.A.
The diver was going after the kids in the cave in Philippines. That Elon wanted to send like one of his robot recovery sleds in. And that guy said, we don't need your technology. And he called the guy a pedophile.
Yeah. He said pedo guy. But apparently pedo guy is right. So Lynn lost that case. And as all good trial lawyers, anybody who tells you they've never lost a case is lying to you, or they've only tried, you know, a handful of cases. And coming off of that, which everybody had said, and, you know, Lynn's a little older than me, he was going to retire off of that. But it indicated he still wanted to deal with Sandman. And within the span of, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he gets CNN to settle on the Sandman case. Undisclosed, people can do. He originally asked for $275 million. You know, I've asked for $1 billion in settled cases. Doesn't mean you necessarily get what you asked for. But CNN did pay, did settle. They still, I think one of the local lawyers had tweeted something that said, next up, Washington Post.
All right. So let's drill down, because I'm very interested. I was sitting at a table with a bunch of people. Mike August was one of them last night. We were sort of like, I was going, what's the guess on this? On the amount. Yeah, on the settlement amount. Now, first off, I was ahead of this a little bit because I said CNN's going to have to do something because they had the information. They had video footage of the black Israelites. They had video footage of the elder hero, turned out to be a crackpot, walking across. They had it all. Now, they didn't do the due diligence, or they spun it. They definitely spun it, and once they spun it, somebody took it.
I'm guessing if you take a look at, and obviously I haven't talked to Lynn about this. If I had, I would have had him on today. I'm guessing they got an order, a discovery order. I'm guessing there was an internal document. Remember the one we had heard before? What was it? Who was the guy who went in and had Zucker on tape saying all impeachment all the time or something
like
that?
Right, right. Project Veritas.
Veritas, right. I'm guessing that somebody dimed out some discovery-type document.
CNN doesn't settle unless there's something in discovery where their guys go settle.
Right.
Like, this is not good. Right. And it's not going to look good if the public finds it.
Well, can you imagine if whatever it was, whatever the document was, if there's a hypothetical document, that would have fed right into the, you know,
narrative. Sean Hannity would have been.
Oh my God, Trump would have been all over it.
He would have been tweeting all about it.
He'd be tweeting 9,000 times. And by the way, I will tell you something. Given what's happened in the last week, mind you, I was with CNN for 25 years. The last three, even I would have to hold my nose, but what they have done in this Iran situation is almost unconscionable. I mean, you almost get a whipsaw. I've been very frank. My politics do not jibe at all with the president. But give it a rest.
Schiff in his backyard.
Exactly. But give it a rest. The guy, you know, everybody who claims he's crazy, and he does act, you know, unhinged, but at the same time, he's unhinged enough that the Iranians look like they were, you know, they backed down completely. And instead of celebrating that or saying, okay, maybe they thought he's as crazy as we think they are, which would be what you would expect CNN to do. Okay, we think he's crazy. The Iranians think they're crazy. But they ended up sending missiles in that were designed specifically not to hit anything. And at the same time, the idiots apparently brought down their own airliner filled with people on the same night,
Ukrainian airline.
And instead, it's like, oh, well, now we want to know what the imminent threat was. Well, you know, guys.
Well, they killed a beloved statesman.
Well,
he was safe.
Every single guest who gets on, this is what drives me crazy. Every single guest who gets on, well, I'm not shedding a tear because we lost him. Duh. Mm-hmm. What was the evidence that it was an imminent threat? Well, he's the guy who orchestrated, you know, at least 1,000 kills of Americans. That's you know, I defend murder cases on a lot less. I have guys who drive who aren't under the influence who they charge with murder. And I can't get – I can't wreak retribution on somebody who put ordinances out with copper casings.
Let me say this. Here's what CNN needs to do. Pick your battles. The guy snuffed out a terrorist. Keep walking. Move on to the next thing. There's got to be another Guma out there who sucked his dick at Mar-a-Lago. Do that one. Just not everything. What I'm saying is let the broken clock be right twice a day.
Right.
Just let it go.
And be happy. Okay, there's no World War III. They kind of got me into it. It's going to be World War III. No, the Iranians backed down. They thought, what the fuck?
Now, look, you...
And by the way, the political calculation, if you want to say something... Why don't you focus on, we took the guy out, but at what cost? Because now we had, 4 weeks ago, a great unrest in Iran. It was clear that people were dissatisfied. All this did was kill somebody who was beloved and bring everybody together hating us.
I have a philosophical question, and I'm going to use some of your hot regional Irmo blood to help shed some light on this. By the way, this is by no means a new thought to me. I have been saying this since Loveline. I believe that region of the world are sort of like they're bullies. Mike Tyson beat everybody until Evander Holyfield went, I'm not going to let you bully me anymore. And what's his name? Did it
Buster
too.
Douglas.
Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas said, I'm going to bully you. And all of a sudden he was human and vulnerable, and then he started losing, right? He had people beat before he got into the ring. People were so scared of him. Now, that region of the world, I'm not talking about Switzerland. I'm talking about that region of the world. They are wired that if they think the leader is weak or soft or flexible, they mistake it. They mistake flexibility in diplomatic diplomacy with weakness. So if you tell the bully, I don't want to fight. They go, now you're getting a fight. Now, there's no such thing to them in their world as I don't want to fight. I have nukes. I have raptors. I have battle carriers. I can destroy you. I don't want to fight. That doesn't make sense to them. And they physically see somebody who's thin. They see a guy like Jimmy Carter, and they go, fuck, we'll do whatever the fuck we want to this guy. Who gives a fuck? Meaning it's almost like our guy could kick that guy's ass. Forget about the military might. He doesn't have the will. He's not going to do it. They see softness. The only thing that works on bullies is other bullies or people they think of are a little unhinged. Fucker may do something.
And you punch Trump him in the nose.
Yeah, Trump is effective with them because they're like, this fucking guy may do something. He's not bringing cash over. He's doing something. And we don't know what it is. And is he nuts? I don't know. But I don't want to find out.
And it
works.
And I will also tell you one of the other things. You turn on, for instance, MSNBC. And they've got – and CNN has the same – I have the same complaint there. It's become where every single person who's criticizing what's happening now is somebody who formerly held the exact same position in the previous administration.
Right.
So you say to yourself, well, this is like interviewing the Patriots after they just lost. And what are they going to say about, your NFL football team? One of the reasons I like David Gergen, for instance, is because he served under both Republican and Democratic.
Where do we find David Gergen?
CNN. It's on CNN.
Yeah, but you look for voices.
I look for voices that isn't somebody who's just. For instance, there was an admiral on yesterday whose name I forget, but he's got a book, kind of a Profiles in Courage book, who's good. He served under a number of different administrations, and I enjoy listening to him because this is somebody who gives me he knows all the players, and he gives you a perspective where it doesn't just sound like sour grapes or somebody who's got an axe to grind.
I want to get back to CNN, Nicholas Sandman. I want some guesses, some numbers.
Over and under is 5 million.
Five. Lower than I thought.
Yeah. I don't think that they went to – I don't think there's any way they would have paid 10. They would have just sucked it up, even if there was a bad document. I think 5, they figure at that level of litigation, 5 is kind of a cost of defense, meaning the calculation is – this is.
But how
– Some insurance company paid it, I'm sure. Or it was the retention amount, meaning what we would call it a deductible.
How How bad would a trial, if there was a smoking gun document, though, how bad would a trial be for CNN?
Well, the what would really be bad is if there was no protective order, or because CNN would have a hard time saying we want a protective order to keep this from getting out when they're supposed to be a news agency that's transparent. Can you imagine going to the court and saying, hey, we're going to turn over this stuff, but we want a protective order so nobody gets to see it? Right. That would be insane.
Where does this leave the Washington Post and people who doxed him and celebrities that doxed him and things of that nature?
I think that if I'm Lynn Wood, I'm guessing that he's lining them up and saying, okay, you're next. This is, I've kind of set the bar. Globally, this is how much I want. They've contributed. Boom, boom, boom.
Does CNN settling symbolically mean a lot to the next person he's coming after?
Absolutely.
And why does it mean
normally,
so
normally, if it's the same lawsuit, you've got to do something called a good faith settlement, which means if you were to sue CNN and the Washington Post in the same proceeding, then you would have to go and get the court to say, okay, we're going to let this is a good faith settlement on the part of CNN, and I'm going to approve it so that the Washington Post doesn't get hung out to dry.
Well, what do you think the Washington Post then would be?
They're going to have to pony up about the same.
About the same.
Yeah, because there's an argument that the Washington Post, if they had access to the same information CNN did, and if they either excised it or it got edited out or they did not bring it forward, theirs could, if you look at it as a virus, theirs got republished both by CNN and by other MSNBC, other local news outlets, wherever this kid lives. I would assume they'd want to see the reports because, remember, this was a school trip, so to speak. So I'm sure it was covered locally where he lives, and that whatever networks there are going to get hung out to dry as well.
Gary, is there any celebrity names on that Kathy Griffin or Rosie O'Donnell, somebody say, like, find this kid and punch him in the face or dox him or something? And are they in Lynn Wood's crosshairs?
Let me look. There is definitely a prominent, I believe it's a CNN reporter, that there's a tweet that's still up that people have been retweeting ever since the settlement went up that said, have you ever seen anything more punchable than this kid's face?
I remember seeing that.
That's good investigative journalism.
Yeah.
that reminds me of the best story ever. I haven't told Mark though, but it'll make you laugh. We did an upfront, me and Jimmy, a million years ago in Pasadena, like the Four Seasons or the whatever.
Langham.
Yeah, and this a million years ago. And we're backstage with the...
Back then it was the Huntington.
Debbie Liebling, who was the nice, matronly Jewish lady who sort of ran Comedy Central. And right. And she loved me. She liked Jimmy, but she loved me. And she's like, we're backstage, and she goes, you two are going to go out there. She said, you guys are such sweet guys. Like, you're really nice guys, and you get this man show, like Bravado and everything. But just go out there and show them the side of you that I know. Be nice. Don't eviscerate anybody. Just be cool. And let them know, let the press know what I know of you two sweet boys who are doing this funny comedy show. And we said, yeah, don't worry, Devin. We're not going to hurt. We're not going to offend anybody. And we went out there, and we took the podium. The very first question was a haunchy woman, and she got up. You can pull it down. Hold on, Gary. She got up there and said, you have the Juggy Dance Squad. What if you had black people and made them the Darky Dance Squad? And Jimmy said, like, oh, we'll call you when we start the Fat Bitch Dance Squad or whatever. And I said, shut up, sit down. And Debbie Liebling was such a one, like, one question. We can get one question in. And later on, after the event, we're all out on the lawn and they're doing the theme and fun and food and cocktails and stuff. And some guy from a Minneapolis Star Gazette or something like gets me, and he's like, so it was season two, blah, blah, blah. It sounded like nuts and bolts. He's doing an interview, like the man show guy. And the woman who stood up in the audience goes right past me and him about 100 miles an hour. And she goes, I bet you both have small dicks. And she goes right back. And the guy doesn't miss a beat. He's looking down his fingers. He goes, that's good investigative journalism. Made me laugh my ass off. So... Kathy Griffin did a what? And is she on Lee's or Lynn Woods?
She would get. Yeah, if single motherfuckers wouldn't die, seeing a heartbeat, think again.
The person who I was referencing earlier is Reza Aslan. He's an Iranian religious scholar, and you know he's a contributor to TV shows and stuff. His tweet was up until yesterday, and then he finally deleted it. Presumably,
didn't he have his own? Didn't they? You know, Ben, a good boring cop, has this theory about nowadays they just try and, you know, social media just kills somebody every day. There's like that we burn somebody at the stake every day. Didn't he, Reza Aslan? Didn't he get burned at the stake for something too?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But speaking of burning at the stake, you know.
Well, wait. I just want to make sure we're done with the salmon.
Kathy, I think, has got clearly. Kathy is going to have protection because comedian, blah blah blah.
Okay. The CNN settling is big symbolically.
It's big literally and figuratively.
It's big because you know from where you sit they discovered something in Discovery and it means something.
There's no question in my humble opinion that there had to be something that was worth it to that they didn't want to see the light of day.
Right.
There had to be. They did some kind of e-discovery. They did something that all of a sudden they said, this is not on brand.
Right. All right. And there, who else beside Washington Post and I don't know who else, Gary?
I think NBC is on the hook too. But, you know, this week, famously, there's so much here that to unpack. Harvey Weinstein's trial started.
Right. Right.
And on the first day, Monday of this week, the district attorney, Jackie Lacey of Los Angeles County, literally at, I believe, 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Eastern, as Harvey is using his walker to get into the courtroom in New York, has a press conference where she announces that she's filed criminal charges here in Los Angeles County. Now, mind you, all of the juror summons have gone out. So everybody knows that they're all the jurors who are on the East Coast. This thing goes viral. And if you think that the Jackie Lacey's office, the district attorney's office, has been investigating this for roughly, 2 years?
Yeah.
365 days in a year. And so what is that? About 730. So out of those 730 days, what are the odds that it's just a coincidence that on the hour that he's going into a courtroom to start trial on a case that you and I have talked about may not be as strong as the accusers want you to believe factually from an evidentiary standpoint, that they decided to file that case on that day at that hour? 730-1 would be the odds?
Yeah.
Does that tell you that Jackie Lacey, who is the current district attorney, believes that maybe George Gascon, who got the Democratic endorsement, who resigned as the district attorney in San Francisco and moved down to L.A. and is challenging Jackie Lacey, does that give you any – do you think maybe – is it a coincidence or is there a political motivation there? What do you think? You think that – and I don't care if you think Harvey Weinstein is the devil incarnate come back. Do you think that that's fair? Do you think that a L.A.D. – and I'll take it even a step farther – do you think that the DA's office in Manhattan had any communication with the DA's office in L.A. About the timing of this on the first day of trial when every single reporting outlet in the world was covering this in New York?
The notion, I mean, that place, the thing that everyone worries about, you know, they worry about their democracy, they worry about Iran, they worry about... When guys like Mike Nifong start thinking about their black constituency and Duke LaCrosse and stuff like that and running for reelection, basically, here's how I get reelected. I railroad a bunch of 19-year-old guys into destroying their life so I can get a second term. That is a very dangerous place to be.
Look, like I said, if you say, and apparently the judge has ruled, they've made all the right motions. The defense team has made the motion to have a cooling off period, which to me is, of course, that's what you do, because as we all know, the public will forget something mm-hmm. in a matter of time. Denied. How about judge some kind of a sequestering or something else? Denied. There is something fundamentally wrong. And if I'm the judge in that case, I want to know if the DA's offices were in cahoots. I want to know whether or not there was communication between the two. They're slamming the crap out of Weinstein for using his phone in the courtroom when the judge isn't on the bench.
He wasn't on the bench?
Was not on the bench.
They left that part out.
Yeah,
of
course. Of course, because he's Harvey and you can say anything about him. I mean, there is a...
admonished him for using the phone if the judge wasn't on the bench?
The bailiff apparently went into chambers, told the judge, and the judge came out.
Is what's
being reported. And I don't... And mind you, I sent Gary today. I wrote an article about this. Be careful what you wish for, because what happens is, and having defended, the most hated guy in the world, several times over, I can tell you, you're going to find that a lot of people who the prosecution would normally want and the defense would never want are going to self-select out. They're going to say, I can't be fair. This guy's being prosecuted on both coasts. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Boom, I'm not going to be fair. And sure enough, the first day of jury selection, 50 out of the 170 said that. I mean, 50. That's fully almost, more than 25%, knocking on the door of a third. So what is the point of that other than if you're so confident in your case, if you think your case is so great, and you're also slamming the hell out of, mind you, they brought motions to sanction the defense for saying stuff about the victims or the accusers in this case. Well, at the same time, doesn't fairness require that you don't? What was the rush of filing if you're the LADA? You could have waited 6 weeks till the trial's over. He's not going anywhere. He's on bail there. So what was the point of the Monday press conference here in L.A. but to further taint the jury pool? Can you explain it to me? Because I don't have any explanation.
Got an election coming up. It's sad when everything turns into sort of show business. You know what I mean? And any publicity is good publicity, and politicians become actors and celebrities. I don't know. I guess we couldn't go any other direction but this direction with everyone a camera in everyone's phone.
Hold on, I'll give you one more because it's a personal experience. Then I believe today, as we're recording this, the defense made a motion to exclude Gloria Allred from the courtroom. Now, I've done that before, and I did it famously.
With Gloria or with somebody
with
else?
With Gloria.
Wow.
Famously in Peterson. I asked to have her excluded because she was going, I was under a gag order.
She was in the courtroom.
She
wasn't
was in
working.
The courtroom. And then she represented Amber in the Peterson matter.
Oh, sorry.
So she would go outside each time and have a press conference. And I can't say anything. I'm under a gag order.
Right.
And she's over there, basically as a spokesperson for the prosecution. Well, I learned my lesson, though. In that case that we talked about before, I tried a case 3 years ago in L.A. Superior Court where a guy was charged with a hate crime for supposedly – because the he, she, it, whatever
Santa
it was,
Monica Boulevard.
Right. They had slashed one of the client's guys and they'd gone off her and tackled her or it. I can't even remember whether it was a he, she, or – yeah, and I don't want to get tranced for this. So in that case, Gloria represented the accuser. The slasher. And the prosecution in that case had learned their lesson. They wanted me not to refer to Gloria Allred in the courtroom. I wanted to at that point. I said, this is, and I said, okay, judge, that's fine. She ruled against me. I said, well, okay, watch what happens. And sure enough, the accuser walks in and in struts Gloria right after the accuser. And that jury, there was a mistrial declared because the cop had deep sixed something at the end of the trial. But the jurors told me afterwards, as soon as they saw her, they knew what was going on. They were ready to acquit. I mean, that was the end of that.
Did I have a question, and or it's a it's speculation, but you can tell me. I have been saying, we talked to Harmeet Dhillon, I guess it was, and she represented the coder for Google who wrote the manifesto. And
Andy Ngo?
Yeah. And these people. No.
That's the journalist who got beat up in Portland. His name.
Right.
Give me a second.
Right. She, she represented both. She also represented the Republican National Committee, and she won the appeal, or the struck down the law saying Trump, if he wanted to be on the ballot, would have to turn over his tax return.
He's Dar something.
James Damore.
Damore. Right. Okay. So Google didn't agree with something that he said politically. They fired him. And
yeah, he wrote a memo.
He sued him. He wrote a memo telling the truth, basically. Right. Well, here's why there's more male programmers than female programmers. And of course, he got shit canned because it's Silicon Valley. And they used to do things with impunity. And the Nicholas Sandman thing is starting to show that, hey, you can't just do stuff because you feel like it. You have to have the evidence, or you have to have probable cause or the causable action or whatever it is. You can't just fire people because you disagree with them, and you can't just say things about people.
Right. You can't deep six stuff that's exculpatory.
Recently in Newsweek, my friend Dennis Prager, Newsweek said that he was ridiculing Anne Frank in one of his fireside chats, and then said he and constantly. Oh, you have the clip. Oh, you have the fireside chat.
Boy, I believe we do.
Okay, that he was ridiculing Anne Frank, and that he constantly made references to, you know, Democratic leaders being Hitlerian and things like that. Now he got on the air and said, "I did nothing of the sort." Like you did a headline that said Dennis Prager ridicules Anne Frank. Now you seem like the worst person in the world if you ridicule Anne Frank. Yeah, you know, defending Scott Peterson is probably the only thing worse in terms of headlines than ridiculing Anne Frank. And he said,
some guy said that to me at Sprouts last night. Really? Yeah, that's what he said at Sprouts.
We'll play it. You can play the clip. I'm sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
Frank is quoted as saying, despite everything, I believe that people are really good at heart. How do you respond to her quote?
It's a question.
My wife and I love you, Dennis. Love you, Dennis. Thank you. My reaction to Anne Frank, she wrote that in her diary, the most famous Holocaust document. The teenage girl who, a Dutch Jewish girl who was hid with her family until they were betrayed. By someone to the Nazis, who then shipped them to death camps, and she was died in one of the murdered by the Nazis in one of the death camps. She was about 16 years old, I think, maybe 15. I don't know. Diary's very famous, and it gives a face to the horror of the Holocaust. I know she wrote that, and my answer is, it doesn't matter that she wrote it. I don't get my wisdom from teenagers.
Okay.
That she was eight.
The point is that...
I don't understand. So what
it's was... Not someone said Anne Frank wrote in her diary that people are basically good. Dennis Prager doesn't believe that. He's seen enough bad. Anne Frank found out a little later that people could be bad. And he said... What do you think? Do you disagree with Anne Frank? And he said, I don't get my wisdom. She's great. What she did was important, but I don't get my wisdom from 15-year-old girls. I don't get my wisdom from kids. That's my belief. Newsweek then did a title that said Dennis Prager ridicules Anne Frank.
Because she's a teenager. By the way, a factual statement.
He did not ridicule her at all. He just said, I disagree. Now, Dennis said... Hey,
did he go on to say what you just implied? Because that is kind of a, you know, in real time when she wrote it, she was being, and I wish I could remember the name of the people who were helping her, but she would have, and it always resonated with me because it reminded me of the people who had helped out my grandmother and my grandfather's when they were in the genocide. But I would assume that if you've got people who are taking a stand and exposing themselves and hiding you famously against the authorities, that you would think that people are basically good.
Yeah.
But then, you know, she wasn't able to write a epilogue later on after
Yeah, the point is this. This is neither here nor there. This is a Jewish scholar in Dennis Prager. Somebody asked a question, and just randomly texted, emailed the question. He answered the question, which was, I like Anne Frank. I think what she did was important. I disagree with this statement. Okay, there's no there.
Right.
But you don't like Dennis Prager. So then you manufacture a thing that says he ridiculed Anne Frank, which makes him sound like a horrible guy. And then you ran with that. And then Dennis Prager said, hey, I'm thinking about suing you because this makes me sound like a horrible guy. And Newsweek, well, I don't know what their headline was. The initial one was, Gary will find it.
Did they change it?
Yeah, they changed it. But what I'm saying is he's been called that a million times and no one's changed anything. But now people are changing things because they're realizing you can't just with impunity attack people's character and just let it go. Just keep moving. Nicholas Sandman's going to lawyer up and you're going to have to pay him.
Well, there's all kinds of nuances to this in a social media world. That one seems to be fairly egregious. I saw what's his name? Seb Gorka.
Yeah.
I saw Sebastian, right? They call him Seb.
Yeah, sorry, do you have a...
And he was...
Do you have the headline?
Sorry. The initial headline was, conservative radio host ridicules Anne Frank, : I don't get my wisdom from teenagers.
Right, but he didn't ridicule her. He just said, I don't get my wisdom from
teenagers.
Right.
Well, the Seb Gorka and famously Greta... is it Thunberg?
Thunberg.
Yeah.
Greta Thunberg, Seb Gorka.
I think it's Thunberg for some reason.
Yeah,
but
that's what I think.
Thunberg.
We say Thun, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But Seb Gorka
is. Garagus?
Yeah. Well, it depends on if it's Tenny or me.
Right.
He said something like Thunder Thighs. And then the headline was, which by the way is kind of juvenile for a grown man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really. The headline was he sexualized the. He's an idiot. But I wouldn't go so far as to say he sexualized it by calling her Thunder Thighs. There's so much insanity. I was watching on C-SPAN a guy who I should have jotted down his name who was testifying in front of Congress about what has happened with the disinformation kinds of campaigns that are going on the internet and how we've been invaded. And it was brilliant in terms of its analysis because to some degree he was arguing for what you've argued, just said is going on right now. You've identified a phenomena that he says has to happen, which is some kind of governance, some kind of remedy that you just can't. One of the ones that I love on Twitter right now is bad legal takes. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but this guy scours Twitter, and every time somebody says an idiotic thing, he retweets it as bad legal takes, and they're brilliant because people are 1,000% sure of things that are 100% wrong.
And well, also to go a little old fashioned, like my grandpa used to say, people feel free to stop being dicks. I read a tweet this morning. So I had Brian, we were talking about power outage. My power's out the other day at the house. And Brian was saying, I'm thinking about getting a generator. What do you know? Because I put a generator
in
my houses. Yeah, absolutely. And I said to Brian, well, look, he said, how much? I'm not a fucking expert on generator and stuff. But I said, look, I said, you can get like a cheaper, smaller unit and you can run a few circuits like, your refrigerator and your, bedroom air conditioner or something. You get a cheaper, smaller one for like $800 and then it goes up there for thousands, $3,000, $4,000 or something like that. After that, the bigger units, blah, blah, blah. And then I wake up this morning, somebody tweeted me, Brian, Adam doesn't know shit. And then Paul Bryan, sorry to say, but Adam Carolla is full of shit on this topic. Then he sends me a home generator system at eBay, Amazon, like a web page, Snapchat, whatever, $5,000, which is basically
what you said.
But what I said was, It's like saying, well, you could get a used Prius for probably $12,000, or you could get a Rolls Royce for $200,000, and then you go, he was dead wrong, and then they show me a picture of a Rolls Royce for $200,000. Four tweets later, a guy writes back, I got a small system for $800, which is the amount I said. Thank you very much. And I just thought, Jesus Christ, everyone have to be such dicks. I said you can get like a cheap system.
Same idiot, by the way.
Is it?
Same idiot is the initial tweet.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I don't. What I understand.
What's he getting at then?
What is the point? He's just angry?
My portable unit that will power my AC unit and refrigerator and some lights for a 2,000 square foot home was $800, which is what I said. So you get a little unit for $800, or you could step up into multi-thousand dollars.
See,
this guy just made my point. Is he trying to make my point? Why is he calling me an asshole?
This is my question.
And by the way, if this is enough to set you off, don't get Seb Gorka started. All I did, you agreed with me 100% and made my own point, and you're pissed? Can't be both.
Maybe there should be, I wonder if Gary, maybe we could devise this. Maybe a 15-question logic test. That you have to, multiple choice, so it'd be easy to grade, and you have to get at least 10 of them right in order to reply.
I think this would be easier.
Okay.
All right. You don't get to write your own Twitter profile, you know, dog lover,
right.
Hero, humanitarian. Right. Your ex gets to. Liar, dipshit, drunk. And then we'll know.
Exactly. As you had, here's somebody who lived with you and knew you.
Yeah. He has seasonal allergies and has combative disorder. He doesn't recognize authority. He's unemployable. He loves cough syrup. Let your ex ride it. You don't get to ride it. Talking about what a fucking hero, philanthropist, and world citizen of the world you are.
It's so funny. I was reading Ben...
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Greta pronounces it Thunberg.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
My name is Greta Thunberg.
What? One more time?
Sounds hot. It's a joke, people.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You
My name is Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's not Berg. It's Thunberg.
Gorka, by the way, reminds me, Sebastian Gorka is Hungarian.
Yeah.
And has a Hungarian accent. And that's why it's the weirdest. My grandfather was Hungarian.
Really?
A Gorog.
Do you look at Seb in a familial fashion?
My grandfather's my step-grandfather, but he is kind of the only one I liked.
So do you kind of like Seb?
I like the accent.
You like the accent.
Because it's a weird. Hungarian is the weirdest language. Have you ever heard people
speak
back?
Yes, because he reminds me of a professor I had at Bryn Mawr when I was auditing a course there who I didn't like much. So it's funny how those things kind of infiltrate the prism at which you through which you look at people.
I think if people want to talk about like conservative voices, they are not being authentic, or they are not doing themselves or other people's justice. If you take Tucker Carlson and or Dennis Prager and you sort of lump them in with Sean Hannity and Seb Gorka, they're not the same guys.
No.
Not at all. No. They have very different nuanced opinions about many different things, and it would serve you well to sort of figure it out rather than just lump them.
I say that all the time about CNN. I mean, Chris Cuomo is not Anderson Cooper, who is not Don Lemon.
Right.
And there are distinct differences of not the obvious ones, but I mean philosophically, ideologically, and everything else, and their background, which informs them.
Totally agree. All right, let me hit Oracle by NetSuite. The problem, growing a business. Well, there's a hodgepodge of business systems out there, one for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle, management software that handles all aspects of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save money and save time and save headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting, orders and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. The world's number one cloud business system. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits at netsuite.com/doubt. Get this for free and get that business up and singing this year. Set up your free demo and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/doubt. That's netsuite.com/doubt. So last but not least, impeachment hearings.
Right. God, you read my mind. So it looks like, as we're talking right now, something could change in the next 24 hours. And if you believe the rumors, it supposedly will. It looks like Nancy Pelosi is now going to send the articles over to the Senate, maybe by the time this drops. And I think that the reason that I give that some credence is I believe that at least 4, maybe as many as 8 Democratic senators have said, okay, enough's enough, is send it over. And there's been much speculation about this. For those who aren't in the weeds, one of the things that Pelosi had done was, after the articles of impeachment were voted on, the normal course, you know, when I say normal, it's only happened a couple of times, is you send it over to the Senate. Because Mitch McConnell had said, there's no daylight between me and the White House, she says, well, at least said, I'm not going to call witnesses. She said, until I know what the arena looks like, and that's her word, I'm not going to send it over. Once the Democrats started breaking in the Senate and saying, send it over, and I think Feinstein has said that, John Tester from Montana has said that. And then,
why are they saying it?
I think they sense that it's overplayed the hand, so to speak. And I think McConnell finally got his messaging better, because McConnell now has gotten smart. I mean, as opposed to saying, I'm in bed, you know, with the White House, he's now saying, all I'm doing is doing exactly what we did when Clinton was impeached, which is we said, send him over. It was 100-0. We voted on the rules. No witnesses right up front. We'll hear the presentation, and then we'll vote on whether we want witnesses, which was 100-0 unified bipartisan last time back in the 90s. The Schumer has not come up with, in my humble opinion, with a good answer to that. And so by not having a good answer to that, and by McConnell refining what was obviously a bad statement by him in the first place, which gave Pelosi kind of an opening, so to speak, to say, I'm not going to send it over. This is a biased tribunal, blah, blah, blah. He then throws it right back at her and made a speech on the floor in which he said, well, what are the Democrats afraid of? We did it the same way last time. Then Mitt Romney came out, and my guess is that the Democratic senators have talked, and they believe that they probably got Collins, Romney, and maybe Murkowski, who will say, send it over, we'll see. And now that Bolton says he's not going to – and here's another guy who's flip-flop all over the place, John Bolton. John Bolton said, I'm not going to go to the House unless a judge orders me to. But now he said, I will testify at the Senate. Now, the Democrats have said, of course he's saying that, or for whatever reason. Some people have speculated it's because he's got a book deal. Other people have speculated he wants to tag Trump because he's pissed because he got fired, even though he says, I didn't get fired, I quit. But I'm guessing behind the scenes that the Democrats, because the ones who came out were Feinstein, as I indicated, Tester and the guy from Connecticut. They are kind of the elder statesmen of the Senate, probably understand that the Republicans, at least 3 or 4 of them, are going to vote for witnesses after the articles get over there. So I think that's what's going on. And it becomes a very interesting trial. Who is Trump going to put on his defense team? Is it going to be Dershowitz? Is he going to add Jim Jordan? Is he going to put the guy, the ex-AUSA Ratcliffe from Texas? He's already got Pam Bondi, the ex-AG from Florida.
Seems like Dershowitz is sliding over that direction on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we ought to get him on Reasonable Doubt. He deserves to be on Reasonable Doubt.
I agree. And right? Ratcliffe. And their pursuit of the Comeys and many of the others who were Steele dossier and all that, because it's sort of lost a little momentum.
It's lost
the news.
Totally, right.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, that's the, you know, you bomb the number two guy in Iran, it tends to take away the focus on other stuff.
But those guys are still at work in that world, and the Strucks and the Pages and the Comeys and folks like that may have some consequences.
Well, it's interesting to me that they, all of that, we talked about this, I don't know, 7 or 8 episodes ago, that McCabe was, supposedly his lawyers made a presentation, were rebuffed by the Department of Justice, and I was waiting for the other shoe to fall, and we haven't seen anything there.
Well,
and that was completely separate and apart from this, presumably, unless they've kind of internally leveled it over.
Well, speaking of politics, any Hunter Biden updates? I heard there was maybe a tax evasion or a identity theft or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like, and I'd have to track it down, and I have not spent, I've got preparing for trial, so I haven't dug into Hunter and the strippers situation, but most of this stuff is a private investigative firm who's using the child support case as kind of a proxy to intervene and try to pollute that the news cycle, so to speak, by putting stuffing in there. When the judge keeps swatting it down and saying, no, I'm not going to let you, you're not going to intervene, you got nothing to do with this, which is actually the right decision, because a paternity case is presumptively confidential, and for some private investigative firm to come in and start injecting in there to give it the imprimatur of judicial process, I think is kind of not a good thing.
Last but not least, Jussie Smollett. I heard some news earlier today about him and what's going on over there.
For the last season, did you see that part?
I saw that part.
That broke today. He's not coming back for the last season of Empire, which had not been confirmed until today.
I thought that was understood.
They brought, and you know, I think next week I'm going to, there is some news that I could talk about next week, and I think we'll wait. I haven't sent out the document that I want to send out yet, but I'll do it later today, unfortunately. And so,
all right, so we'll do Jussie some news. Smollett next
Jussie.
Week. All right.
Jussie Smollett.
Milwaukee, that'll be me January 24th. I think I have a few tickets to the Pabst Theater there. Chicago's almost sold out at the Park West on January 25th, so get going. Shelby American is out. Uppity, which Mark was kind enough to watch.
Right, and which is spectacular. And by the way, there is a client/partner of mine that I need to watch it with, which I plan on doing next week.
Please. As long as it's not Ben.
Yeah, it's not going to be Ben.
Okay, good. You can get Uppity right now. You can go to Chassis, Chassy, and stream it or buy the Blu-ray.
It's really
like
an incredible story. I mean, people talk about documentaries all the time. You know, it's kind of the latest rage. Mm-hmm. You were doing it before, you know, people considered it the latest rage. This is so well done, and it's such a compelling story that it really needs to be made into just like Ford versus Ferrari out of Shelby America. It's the same thing. I see the same thing for this.
Your mouth to God's ears. All right, go to amcroll.com for all you need. What do you got, Mark?
I've got V Palm Springs. The weather's heating up, and actually this weekend is going to be quite beautiful. Casa Tropicana in San Clemente. Engine Company 28 downtown at LAX. 10E Mediterranean Tapas downtown. Prova Pizzeria, Times Square. Go by Times Square. Check that out. We got our liquor license there. The Capri Hotel is closed now, but at the V Palm Springs, the new restaurant should be open up on March 1st called Gigi's.
Oh, are you allowed to use it?
No. I'm banished not only from the property, but the restaurant as well.
So until next time, I'm Cole for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode.
This is Corolla Digital.